Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and we are on episode 181 of the Slow Living Podcast. And I am so excited because today Mel Matthews is in the house, and Mel has a brand new cookbook. And what's so exciting is she is the creator of the Homestead Fam, which showcases her to her audience simple and accessible homesteading lifestyle. And she lives on 2 acres in Michigan with her family. She has 3 kids under 5, and her newest cookbook is called Cook Like a Homesteader. It's filled with easy, accessible recipes that anyone can do using everyday pantry staples without preservatives. We are so excited to have her. And Mel, thank you so much. First off, you look wonderful for a mom who just wrote a cookbook with 3 kids under 5. My hat is off to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So that was a bit of your backstory, but how did you get started? I mean, your website and your social channels are ginormous. How did this all get started?
Yes, thank you. It got started kind of as a creative outlet for myself. So as you mentioned, I have 3 kids now under 3. At that time when I started, I was pregnant with my second. So I was just kind of looking for something. I love being creative to put out into the world. And so I started sharing about my life, and it kind of took off from there, and I turned it into my business. And it allows me now to stay home with my girls, which I am over the moon about. So that's kind of how it all started.
Oh, I didn't realize they were all baby girls. So I too have baby girls, and I too got started writing online so I could stay home with them and, and fun. And then there's a lot of overlap with slow living and homesteading and that kind of romantic ideal. And I know from watching your social media, you do point out it's not all sunshine and roses. It is actually hard work. But how do you go about kind of romanticizing the homesteading lifestyle, but also being down to earth the way you are?
Yes, I think especially in the homesteading niche, sometimes it can kind of be portrayed as like all sunshine and rainbows, like you said. And I like to be very realistic as well. I'm all about kind of romanticizing my life, kind of how you mentioned. So that makes things, it makes your life just feel more fulfilling when you do those things and you feel good during the day, but it's also hard work. So I try to show kind of both sides how, yes, like if you work hard, you can kind of have these other pockets and moments of where you actually be very present and very fulfilled in what you are doing.
And just to be clear, you are not living completely off of your 2-acre plot of land.
As in like off grid?
Yeah.
No. So that's another thing. I don't like, I'm never like trying to portray that like we live completely off grid. I love my modern conveniences, right? Like I couldn't live without my dishwasher. But we try to be as self-sustainable as possible, especially like with our food. But like, yeah, we're not off grid. That's a whole different aspect in itself.
Okay. And then as far as like a big pocket sometimes, especially in the online space right now, is the romanticizing, like the traditional wife, the trad wife.
Yeah. That's like that term, that trend you'll see every once in a while going around. I don't know. I don't necessarily, I wouldn't like classify myself as a trad wife. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. Honestly, I've tried so many different businesses in the past, and I love to do that and have my independence in that way. And I try to do everything with my husband. You know, we kind of have our set, like he works on the cars and fixes things up and whatever. And then I do the majority of the cooking, and that's just what works for us. But I wouldn't necessarily classify myself as like a trad wife in the sense of, like he runs all of the household and I think there's also a misconception for people who do call themselves trad wives that you just kind of do whatever your husband says. Yeah. That's not me, but I also don't think that's necessarily what traditional wives would be. Modern day trad wives, I guess, would be anyways.
I think so. I stayed home with my kids for 12 years and primarily did all of the things around the house and loved it. I loved being a stay-at-home mom. And I guess when it comes to like the gender divide and that kind of things, I don't know anything about cars. I could learn.
Right.
I'm not anti-learning.
Right. We all have our skill sets, and that's kind of what we bring to that partnership, right? So, yeah.
When you first got married, did you already have the 2-acre farm, or did you morph into that? How did that come about?
So we actually lived in a small two or not, I was going to say 2-acre. No, a small, tiny little duplex in the city. So we live where we grew up right now, but we had moved away for 3 years, and we lived in a tiny little fixer-upper duplex where we bought it for dirt cheap, especially like now with housing prices going up, like it was very cheap. And we fixed it up, rented out the other side, and kind of, you know, started
house,
there.
It's a house Our hack. House. You did your first house hack. Good for you.
Right. And then we actually moved back to our hometown and bought the house that my husband grew up in, which is this 2 acres. So that was kind of our stepping stone to be able to actually purchase a house with 2 acres. So that's where we started, but we're back in our hometown.
That's wonderful. It's so interesting, Mel. There's so many parallels here. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is astronomically expensive. And when my husband and I first got married, we could not afford to buy here. So we did move to the Central Valley where homes were less expensive and we could get our foot in the door. And then once we got our foot in the door, we
moved back.
Hopscotched back, which anyone who's listening, pay attention to that, because one way, like find the way in. And then you can still have goals. You can still have aspirations. But real life is not a straight linear path. It's cobblestones and it's meandering. And so I'm glad that you did that. And I'm glad that you were bold enough to try something new.
Yeah, that house was – it was fun, and looking back on it, I'm like, that was I'm glad we did it. It was a good time. But in that moment, it was like, you know, we were just doing what we needed to do. And I do think, like we were saying earlier, a lot of times online, things can look perfect and picturesque. And a lot of us don't start. It's not like that direct path. It's, you know, you go around things and curve until you get to the goal that you ultimately have.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're a testament to that. Okay. So 2 acres, I live in the suburbs, and our plot of land is essentially a postage stamp. So I have the traditional front yard and then a small backyard. So if you had kind of like raw 2-acre land, do you try and like square foot garden the whole thing, or how do you utilize this in the best way possible?
Yeah, I think it depends on your exact goals. Some people just want to, you know, grow some of their vegetables and do it more as a hobby. Some people want to grow all of their food. And on 2 acres, I mean, when you look at like farming and like, oh, I gotta have 40 acres, like 2 acres can seem really small, but actually, like when I look out, our 2 acres is like the front acre is like the house, and then most of it is in the back. So I look out my back window and I'm like, there's a lot of land there that's just empty. You know, get rid of the perfect green grasses and grow a garden instead. Grow some, you know, I know a lot of people who switch their grasses for like lavender plots, and I think that's amazing. So it's really just figuring out what your goal is for a garden or a homestead, and then building upon that. Out back, we have a large greenhouse that's going up. We have a flower plot. I can't remember how exactly big it is, but it's 5 rows by 50 feet long. And then there's also a little orchard. You know, there's little pockets that you can make and make things work. And I always tell people, if you have like a small plot, to think vertically, because you have a lot of space vertically, but not necessarily horizontally. So grow on trellises and see what you can do for vertical growing.
That's a really smart idea. So the flowers, do you sell the flowers? Is that why you're growing flowers?
I do. So last year we started a farm stand for the first year. So that was just another kind of outlet for me, I guess, because I have always loved flowers. My mom and dad always had a beautiful flower garden, and I wanted to kind of start doing that, but I'm like, I don't need all these flowers myself. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a flower stand. So we did that last year, and I plan to do it again this year, but to simplify
That's
it.
simplified. Are you the one who's like manning, quote unquote, manning the stand and doing it all?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot.
It is. It is. Yep. Especially when I've got, you know, like last year, I don't know what I was thinking last summer. I was writing my cookbook, and then that was the first year of the farm stand, and I was, you know, postpartum because I just had my daughter that spring. So yeah, it was a blur, but stepping stones and getting to the goals.
Yeah, it's a fun blur. When you're in the middle of doing something that is exciting and exhilarating, even though it's quote unquote hard work, it's so gratifying and you're kind of in
Yes,
the
very
zone.
rewarding. Yes.
Very rewarding. Talk to me about the book. I know you self-published your first cookbook. Is this a metamorphosis of that, or is this a completely different book?
So this book is going to be a completely separate book. There's not any, or if maybe one or two or three that actually are like the same in the book. In both books, I should say. And this one is more so a guide as well as a cookbook. So in it, you're gonna learn how to water bath can, how to ferment, tips and tricks on baking, whereas my other one was very basic. Just, I don't even know how to cook. I just want to make some healthy swaps, like
Yeah.
just give me the recipe and let me get on with my day kind of thing. And this one's a little bit more in depth and a lot more, you know, some more elaborate recipes from our homestead.
From your homestead. So that said, I mean, I have a background in writing cookbooks, so I like to read cookbooks just to read them because I'm weird and dorky in that way. I was blown away at how simple your bread recipes are. And we're a gluten-free family. And what I love is that your flour base is just a regular all-purpose flour, so you can just flop that out, swap it, not flop, swap with a gluten-free mix. And I'm really kind of excited. Your publicist sent the PDF copy, so now I need to actually buy the book so it can sit on my counter. And but I've got 3 kids in the house, and they're much, much older than yours, and so they can do this. And yeah, the cheddar jalapeno bread, all of these quick, it's like a quick mixed bread is how I would describe it.
And I try to keep it that way because, well, number one, that's what I like to do, but I also like it to be accessible. So sometimes I'll get asked like, oh, do you use all these type of different, you know, ancient kind of breads and or flours? And I'm like, you know what? I don't. I buy flour in like 50-pound bags in bulk, and I think that's the best way budget wise and like sanity wise, because you don't have to worry about all these different ingredients and what's going in this one. And using those different flowers is a whole different learning curve in itself. So using just all-purpose like baker's flour or unbleached flour is primarily what I use.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And I love that you brought up frugality. Because I think sometimes, especially online, people mm-hmm. are trying to make things just so. And in doing that, they complicate what should be simple. I mean, looking back on it, like if you actually go back to the homesteaders, they're making it with the least amount of ingredients possible mm-hmm. and as quick and easy and simple as possible because they had stuff to do. And I had just recorded a podcast on like living a B plus life. And maybe the quote unquote ideal from a nutrition standpoint and a show-offy standpoint is to grind your own wheat and do mm-hmm. this and have all of these different little bags of amaranth and xanthan gum and stuff. But I love how it's quick and easy and very, very accessible, Mel.
Yes. And that's something I am very passionate about in what I share and what I do, because I think, again, with the homesteading niche, it can feel so inaccessible. And a lot of people think it has to be so expensive to do so. And I always try to remind people that, you know, people used to live this way because it out of necessity, because they couldn't afford to do anything else. And we do save quite a lot of money by growing and raising and preserving our own food. So just getting back to that and reminding people, like, you don't need a ton of fancy gadgets. Going back to the cooking, I do love making pasta. So like I have a pasta maker and stuff like that. But when I first got started and I didn't really know if I was going to like it or not, I just started, you know, you put pasta on the countertop and kneaded it with my hands and then cut it with a knife or a pizza cutter. So there's a lot of things that you can do with just, you know, a bowl in your hands and what you have.
Very cool. Very cool. What does a typical day look like for you? How are you able to balance the kids and writing and Instagramming and yeah, all of that?
My most asked question. So every day it kind of looks different for me, honestly, but the consistent parts are I try to get up and, you know, get myself around and ready before the kids. If I don't, it goes okay, but just not as smooth. And then I do stay home with my kids 3 days a week. And then their grandma takes them for 2 days, which is where I really, you know, get my must-haves and work responsibilities done. And then the other days, you know, I kind of have to find a balance between, you know, the work and, you know, the being a stay-at-home mom. And that's kind of why I started this in the first place. So finding that balance of, you know, it's okay if this doesn't get done today, like they're the priority. And so a lot of times it's just getting up and having, you know, a breakfast ready and doing something fun with them. And then a lot of times work happens when they're sleeping. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the balance in this season of my life, at least.
Yeah. That makes sense. And I appreciate your candor with that. They're little now. They're 1, yes. 3, and 4. Do mm-hmm. you foresee that you will send them to school, or do you think you'll be a homeschooling family?
Yeah, that is a great question that we are still going back and forth with right now. We have actually met up with a group of amazing other parents who are kind of on the fence of what they want to do in our community as well. So kind of trying to figure out what that's going to look like. We do have a beautiful private school, elementary school next to us. So it's either going to be homeschooling or they're going to go to that school. And for me, it's mostly the time. Mm-hmm. And I love to be with my kids and I want that time with them. So if I could even send them part-time, the oldest one will be in kindergarten. So if I could do a part-time kindergarten, that'd be kind of ideal, but yeah. We'll see what happens come fall.
Yeah. It's tricky. There's, mm-hmm. there's a lot of pros and cons with all of the things for your website and the socials. Yes. Do you do everything yourself or do you have a team working with you?
Yes, so everything you see right now is me. So the learning of that all, I mean, that takes a lot of time and years, as I'm sure you know. But I actually just hired my first like assistant, and she is starting this week, so that's exciting. And she's gonna help me with a lot of like back end stuff, so that'll be nice. And then I actually just have been working with someone who's gonna help me with my website, but they haven't changed anything yet. We're still kind of going through the back end things and what, you know, makes sense and what doesn't. So hopefully this spring they'll kind of help me kind of nail that down a little bit more, because I'm not the best with, I mean, I don't have any history in website development or anything like that. So
It's a really cool site.
thank you.
I like your site, and I think you've done a lot. And I think anyone who has a bit of an entrepreneurial brain, it's tricky because you want to do absolutely everything yourself. And I think in general, people who start writing online and doing this, we pretend we're not type A, super over the top control freaks, but really where? Really,
But really,
really.
yes, we still want the control. Yeah, like for me, having these other things like kind of hired out is like, I'm gonna have you do this, but I still need to be in control. Like I like need to show you, and then I'm gonna review it still. You know, I'm
Yeah.
until I feel very super comfortable with, you know, that person and the quality and how it's gonna go. So
Yeah. Do you have animals on your farm?
Right now we have chickens, ducks, and rabbits, and
Chickens.
I'm hoping to add sheep this spring, so fingers crossed.
Okay. And then, so with the egg crisis and everything, did that affect you at all, or did you end up selling more of your eggs?
You know, this so with chickens in the winter, their egg production slows down quite a bit. So we closed the farm stand, which is where we would sell the eggs. We closed that for the winter. And so right now it's just kind of like family and maybe putting it out there randomly if we have some extra. But right now it's pretty good. They're just starting to kind of produce more. So we've got baskets of eggs back there, but sometimes we also will freeze dry them or preserve them in different ways for ourselves too this winter. But we will be selling them again in the spring. But I have seen a lot more people asking, that's for sure, if
Yeah.
we have any. Yep.
Is there anything that now you know you will just never need to buy again from a grocery store?
I shouldn't say never, but because we go camping a lot in the summer, so sometimes things are just a necessity to grab. But I haven't bought bread in a year and a half, probably. I don't think I'll ever really buy it again on a day-to-day, unless it was like a last minute whoops kind of thing.
Yeah.
So bread for sure. Some different condiments I don't really buy anymore. Mayonnaise is super easy to make, so I don't really buy that. A lot of canned goods we have on the shelf. So canned soups and stews are, they never really were part of our diet, but now for sure not, because we do our own. And I don't buy much pasta anymore either, because I will make that in bulk and preserve that as well. So a lot of different, like if you can make it with flour, I'm not really buying it anymore.
Okay.
Tortillas, I love sourdough, so we'll do sourdough bagels a lot, stuff like that.
Okay. So I know the baby's one right now, but
Yes.
when you were kind of like in your nesting stage and you were getting ready, did you have the idea like, I want to make sure the pantry and the freezer and that kind of stuff is stocked with at least a certain amount of food? And what was your thought process on that?
Yeah, so that's kind of my, I mean, that's kind of how our house runs on a day-to-day anyway. I will say, like, when I was kind of in that nesting phase for all of them, it was more so having some, because we always have like, our freezer is full of like meat we've raised or processed, and it would be more so getting it out, marinating it, or putting it into something that we could just quick throw in the crock pot or something like that. But our meals are usually pretty simple, and a meat and a potato, you know, something that can be kind of thrown together quickly anyway. So that wasn't terrible. I didn't have like tons and tons of freezer meals stocked or anything like that. It was kind of just what we have usually on a day-to-day basis anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, well, it's interesting. I use the phrase, well, if you get hit by a bus, like who's going to take over kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it seems like your whole just sort of way of being can be self-sustaining, in that if it's not you, your husband or a grandparent or someone can come in and quickly find anything. Yeah, anything and everything.
Yeah. Yep. And that was the nice thing with another reason why I don't think I really prepared that much in the nesting phase for food wise was because my husband was lucky enough to have some time off too. Like I think he had like a month off and then went back part time for a little while. So he was in the kitchen doing all of the things for probably about a month. So that was very helpful. Yeah.
And you're in Michigan. So yes. I would imagine there are times when you're completely snowed in.
Yes. maybe not completely snowed in. My father-in-law does plowing in the winter, so that's nice. So he always has us plowed out, thank goodness. But definitely times where I'm not going anywhere today if I don't absolutely have to. And yeah. And there's often, you know, with that comes, we have a few power outages during the year and stuff like that. So it's always nice to have certain things on hand for those instances.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, Mel, thank you so much. So her cookbook is called Cook Like a Homesteader. Mm-hmm. And even if you live in the city and you think, well, there's no way I would ever live on a homestead, you can still cook that way. You can still simplify and not have as many chemicals and preservatives in your food. And it's not that hard. It really isn't. If you can throw stuff in a crock pot, you can mix together the different things that she's written out. The recipes are easy. They're accessible. College age kids can absolutely do this.
Yes.
Before we log off, Mel, is there anything else that you want to share or anything we didn't touch upon that I should have asked?
No, I don't think so. Just, yeah, the pre-orders for that book come out next month. And just a couple other things I've got coming up. We are launching a homestead community here in the spring too. And if you come to our website, we're thehomesteadfam.com, the Homestead Fam on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, everywhere you can find us. Okay. And then we also have some kitchen products coming out this spring as well. So,
good for you. How are you going to do the kitchen products? How did that work out?
I've been working with a team that's also the one that is kind of helping me with my website. So they're kind of the in-between man between like a manufacturer and me. So they've been very helpful with that, making it a smooth process. And I'm excited to share that. Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Slow Down Society, as always, I think you are wonderful. Thank you for being here. Please take care. Listen to your inner voice. And if your inner voice is like, no way, no how, be curious. Try, because you too can do pretty much anything you put your mind to, just like Mel. Take it easy and have a great day. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at stephanieoday. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.